in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, okay, hello, welcome to episode 260 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. You alright, Sean?
I am good. I can't believe we're on 260.
I know, yeah, we're getting there. We're getting old, aren't we?
Yeah, well, you are.
Well, podcasting is getting pretty trendy these days, but we've been there from the start,
yeah. Haven't we?
Not quite the start, but for a while.
Well, we were trendsetters, weren't we?
Certainly were. We're doing another Skype one here. How are you doing? You're not too far away, but your leg feeling better? You getting there?
Yeah, it's good. I'm actually mobile now, so
very good.
It'll take me a few weeks to get back to being able to run and stuff like that, but I will be there.
Good on you. I had a quick chat with my pal about my foot, which I think I have maybe small little fracture above my big toe, but he basically said there's nothing you can do. So they'd only need to put it in one of those big plastic foot things, and I wouldn't be able to ride my bike. So I'm not doing that. Yeah. Man. It'll heal up. I'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean these days, if you break a toe, they just strap it to the one next to it, don't they?
Yeah.
Let you get on with it. Yeah.
I would like to see an X-ray of it just for fun, just because I want to see what's going on in there. But I'll spare the cost to Mr. and Mrs. Joe, taxpayer, and, no X-ray for Ed.
And you don't want the radiation, an X-ray. I mean, people have multiple X-rays sometimes, and I'm thinking, whoa. Stay off the radiation. People don't realise the radioactivity of it.
Right. Like, good advice. See, there you go. Even if you don't listen to the rest of the show, guys, you've had some good advice there. Steer clear of the X-ray machine.
Just think of it. When you have an X-ray, they set you up, and then they all go and stand behind the lead screen whilst they press go, don't they? Why do they do that?
The only time I've ever had an X-ray, actually, is at the dentist when I was a kid. So, I was having braces prepared and all that stuff, so...
Yeah.
I've survived those ones okay. But yeah, steer clear generally, I would say, hey, from heavy doses of radiation.
Yeah. I think that anything like that, when I had to have that barium meal test recently.
Oh, yeah.
On my neck thing, it's the same thing there. You're swallowing kind of radioactive junk whilst they have an X-ray for you to see what's going on.
Delightful. We're not talking about radiation or X-rays today. We're talking about breaking up, aren't we? From a relationship standpoint, although I've got a little tale to tell from a more of a business side. But I'll weigh in with that. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look at it for all the new listeners out there. All the show notes and links from this and previous episodes. And if you sign up to our email list, you'll get some free meditation files, if that's your thing. And discount code for the book, as well as weekly alerts for this show. Not too bad, eh, Sean?
Very good. Very good.
So should we crack on with this week's episode?
Because
we were going to talk about Meghan and Harry, but, we're recording this a bit in advance, so that's all
but
the news,
man. But I think that is very relevant to what we're talking about, because the amount of people that have looked at it and said, well, that won't last...
Have you heard people say that about Meghan and Harry, have you?
Oh, yeah, I've heard quite a few people say that.
They seem like a pretty solid couple to me. They seem like
me too.
They have a laugh together and all that. You can tell, can't you, with quite often it's quite extreme circumstances for, two people to get hitched under.
But I understand that members of her family have written to Harry suggesting that he shouldn't marry her.
Shouldn't marry her?
Yeah.
What? Because she's crazy, or because he's got the crazy lifestyle that he's in?
No. Because she had kind of dragged him down, that kind of stuff.
Oh dear, blimey!
Which is crazy, isn't it? So it's like people predicting a breakup before they got into it.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, we're talking about breakups this week. You do a lot of couples therapy, don't you, Sean? So
I do lots. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you don't. In therapy, you're not telling people what to do. You're trying to coax the answer out of them.
Yeah.
But sometimes the best thing for a relationship is to end it and move on. And there are good and bad. Go on.
When people talk about relationship therapy, the thing is that it doesn't mean that you're going into therapy to get the relationship back together, although you might be. You're going into the therapy to sort the relationship out, and maybe sorting the relationship out is that it comes to an end.
Yep.
And then the issue is, can we make that a positive end? Can we do this as positively as possible?
Okay. I'm sure you've got plenty of tales of horror stories, but have you got, well, what's the ratio of decent breakups you manage to oversee that kind of end amicably and, you know, not with a certain amount, without a certain amount of sorrow and heartache, but at least that people can be sort of on speaking terms or even on friendly terms?
I think that the amount of people that break up amicably is very small.
Mm-hmm.
I see lots of couples who do break up, and they, at the outset, they start off saying, no, we are going to do this amicably and it's going to be good. And then 3 months down the line, because of issues about money and access and kids and property, they're ripping each other's throats out. I've seen that happen lots of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my favourite was a lovely guy I worked with many years ago who got so angry with the issue about the separation of property that he took a chainsaw to the house and actually cut the house in half. Literally, right, it was a timber-framed house.
Okay.
And he went right the way around the roof, down the walls, right the way down the middle of the staircase and cut the house in half. And said, OK, that's your half, I'm keeping this half.
Blimey, OK. So, yeah, love can make us do crazy things, hey?
Yeah, and it's they say that love and hate are very close together, but when that love energy becomes reversed, I always think of it like an atom. You know, the energy that holds an atom together is huge, but you don't realise how much energy is there until you split the atom and you have a nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
And I see that in couples where they appear to be very tight, but as soon as they pull apart and it goes bang, it becomes really destructive.
Good analogy. That's impressive, that. Well done, Sean. That's possibly the best thing I've heard you say on this podcast in 4 or 5 years, whatever it is.
Can I get a reward for that?
I'll bring some atoms around for you.
Okay.
Non-split atoms, yeah, very stable ones. There's an independent article I'm going to link to, which the title is How to Break Up Amicably, which has got some interesting stuff in it, but something you disagreed with, which is mentioned in the headline in the first paragraph, is that it can take up to 11 weeks to feel normal again after breaking up.
To me, that is total nonsense.
You spat your latte all over your work surface there, didn't you, when you heard that?
I did. The whole idea, if you look at the classic breakup, which is bereavement, which is death, yeah, it takes 2 years by the time you go around all the anniversaries, Christmas, birthdays, everything, you come back to the death day, take a breath, you do it again. And by the time you've been around twice, most people are starting to move on, right? Now, there's no difference between that and the ending of a relationship. And because you've got to do the same thing, you've got to go around birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries, and come back to the split-up day, and then you do it again. And I see this happening all the time, even with people that have been made redundant or have retired. It can take you 2 years to get your head around it.
Wow.
And I'm not saying that for everybody it always takes 2 years to do everything, but what I'm saying is 2 years is a very accurate rule of thumb. And 11 weeks to me it would be a joke for certainly the people I work with.
Yeah, but I guess it's the same with death. I guess if you're the person that's died, you get over it pretty quickly, as opposed to the person that's still alive. But in relationships, it's similar-ish, isn't it? Because there's two people, but there's generally one person that's kind of forced the issue, or is more up for the idea of going their separate ways. So they will get over it quicker, right, than the person that's left behind.
Yeah, and if your partner has gone off, and set up home with somebody else, and maybe taking your kids or those kids in the new relationship that they've inherited. So they're off playing happy families, and you're stuck somewhere in a bed, sit, or as a single parent on your own. It's likely to take you a lot longer to come to terms with what's happened than the person who's just walked out on you, because they've already done their processing before they popped the question. It may be a complete shock and a revelation to you.
Yeah.
But they've already decided what they're doing and sorted it out.
Yeah, well, they could have been they've been spending weeks, months, longer even, to plan their escape route and their way out. So, which I can relate to, because I'll talk about it in a little bit, about my little business fun and games. But there's another little interesting stat in the article, the initial one I've mentioned, about a survey was done in between couples, and 58% of people responded to the question as to whether or not it was even possible to have a good breakup. 58% said it was impossible, like it's just not doable. And when I think about the people I know that have, you know, divorced friends and family or parents of friends, you know, and these divorces happened 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, and still there are issues that are unresolved there and people aren't happy, so I can see why that number might be so high. But it's not impossible, is it?
How do you reconcile 58% of people are still going to be upset and then tell me it's going to take 11 weeks for people to get over it? You know what I mean? Two things don't work. Yep. The issue about can it be amicable? And I think in the majority of cases, I mean, we're talking about 58%. I think that's probably quite low. That people aren't amicable about it, because the reason they're splitting up is because something's gone wrong. You will get couples that say, no, we sat down and talked about it, and we both decided that we couldn't go any further with this relationship, and we genuinely decided to split up and be best friends, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And some people can do that. But the majority of people split up because someone's done something that is hurtful.
Yeah.
And that's what they are reeling from. And very often in people that I've worked with, the person that did the hurtful thing can then have lots of problems dealing with their own guilt about what they did.
Right.
Especially if there were kids involved and the kids got hurt through whatever happened. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, the short story about what's happened to me is basically I've set up my own little business again, and I've gone my separate ways from my business partner of 10 years. We actually just hit 10 years together. But, I mean, we didn't work together that much. He lived in another, you know, miles away from me. We spoke a lot on the phone, and we had obviously shared accounts and clients as well. So there's a bit of unpicking to do. Basically, yeah, you know, there was certain admin things that I wasn't happy with and I needed more control of, and a couple of financial issues which came to a head, and I basically took the decision to go it alone, which you know, after 10 years of working with someone and building something with someone is quite a big deal, really. But
yeah,
it's all quite fresh, it's only in the last couple of weeks, but it's ended quite amicably. There was no Barney on the phone or anything like that, or horrible emails going back and forth between accountants, and it's all been pretty amicable actually so far, and we had a really nice chat on the phone. So whilst I can't compare this to a, you know, a married couple of 10, 20 years that have got kids and houses and other things to unpick, I think there's some lessons that can be learned. So it's been quite interesting, actually.
Do you think you'll still be able to work together on different projects in the future?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I mean, time will tell, won't it? But, you know, certainly if I have any call, or my clients have any call for photography, I wouldn't hesitate to recommend my business partner, ex-business partner, to do the job. And I'm sure he would, and he'd send me an invoice, and I'd pay him ASAP. So, yeah, I think so. Yeah, time will tell, though, won't it? Because it's all pretty fresh, really. So, I mean, I don't know, it's easy. I guess bringing it back to couples that might be breaking up, it's easy to talk the talk early on, but you've got to wait and see how these things pan out, hey?
Yeah, that, and that's the thing, is like I say, I've worked with so many couples who have been determined, no, we're going to do this right, we're going to do this for the kids. But it is quite a difficult thing to do. Some people do manage it. My experience is that it's quite rare.
Mm. There's a good article, wikihow.com, kind of a four-step process for, or four things to look at when ending relationships. I think it's worth going through those because, again, yeah, I'm thinking about how I ended it business-wise recently. All these things were kind of checked off quite nicely in hindsight. So the first kind of group of things that it mentions is about choosing the right time and place, which I guess comes around to kind of not... If something bad happens in relationship and, you know, a shocking bit of news, maybe someone's slept with someone else, or I don't know, you find something in at the bottom of a drawer that you wish you hadn't. It's easy to go off the handle, isn't it? Fly off the handle and just go ballistic immediately.
But when you're talking about timings, it's like, what about if what's happened in terms of a split up happened December, just before Christmas? You know what I mean? It's like that those things were just before a deep anniversary or something like that. It makes it much more profound.
Yeah.
But saying that, in terms of psychotherapy, the boom seasons for divorce work and relationship work is in the period just after Christmas, and then again just after the summer holidays. And it's when couples have been together in maybe a forced environment that they've been avoiding for months, maybe longer, and suddenly they're actually pushed together. And they can't cope with it, and that's what leads to the separation. Same with the holiday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But despite that, I don't know if at all possible. Sometimes it's good just to kind of take a deep breath and just try and think rationally. And
One of the worst things that's happening at the moment is, I mean, Dear John letters were always bad. But Dear John texts or emails are appalling. That's really bad. If you just get a message on your phone that says, just want to let you know that I've left you, I've taken all my stuff out of the house, and you'll be hearing from my solicitor, kind of thing, you know. And I have worked with that kind of situation as well with people.
Yeah.
Which is tough.
Yeah, for sure. But that leads on to the second one, which is kind of about choosing, getting the right mindset, really. Because, my situation recently was, I got a letter, quite a serious letter, talking about our accounts, basically, which I was completely unaware of, because all the letters go to another address. Which kind of, was pretty serious stuff, really. So I could have flown off the handle there and then and called and gone absolutely ballistic and said, it's over, whatever, this, that and the other. But I did put a call in just to kind of let him know that I'd got this letter and that I wasn't very happy. But I was calm, I was polite, I was quite friendly. But I was, you know, I was firm as well, saying, you know, sort this shit out, basically. But at the same time, to be honest, as soon as I made that call, whilst I did say that I was okay, I wanted it sorted, I was plotting in my mind already an escape. But rather than saying it there and then, I'm out. Basically, I said, okay, cool, blah, 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 sorted out, and kind of left it with him, and then went off and quietly planned my escape route.
It's interesting you talk about planning escape routes. I've known... relationships where a person has been planning getting out of the relationship maybe for years, and they've been squirreling money away and doing all kinds of things in preparation for this event. You know, very often it is when the last child leaves home or goes to university or whatever, and they've been waiting for that moment, and then they pull the ripcord and off you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll bet. I mean, and then on from that is about, yeah, it's about preparation. It talks about as well about, yeah, being prepared for, so preparing yourself for every answer, really, and making sure you've got things in place so that, when you do come down to that phone call or that face-to-face, ideally a face-to-face chat, you've got your argument ready. Not that it should descend into argument, but you've got your case locked down tight, basically. So you, well, cause that way you know you've made the right decision as well, if you've kind of explored every avenue.
Yeah. I think one of the other things in that, from a male point of view, is the amount of men that I've worked with that believe at the point of divorce that they're going to get 50% of the assets, and it doesn't work out like that. The split is, as a standard, is 60-40, that the woman and the children get 60% and the man gets 40%. But I've known it be as extreme in a cult as the family being given 75% and the man only getting 25%.
Right.
And that's a huge shock for men. Even going from 50% down to 40% is a big shock. When it gets less than that, you get a lot of big issues in the male side. And then the male is angry.
Hmm.
Because they've only got a minimal amount of resources to restart their life. But they then have a maintenance commitment to children and sometimes have an alimony commitment to the act as well.
Right.
So they it's like, from the male point of view, it's like they feel like they're losing money and resources hand over fist. Yeah, and if the reason that the relationship is split up because the woman has gone off with someone else, that can be really, really hard for the man to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really gone into it. I've obviously never been through a case like that, but I've never even studied it. When you do get a split like that financially, I take it it's not like a punishment thing from the judge or whoever's involved. It's there are solid reasons as to why the finances are split that way.
It's to support the children.
Yeah.
But the way that it works out from the man's point of view, he will lose 60% of everything that he had. He may lose half of his pension, and then on top of that, he'll be required to pay a maintenance payment, which if you've got one child is 15% of your net income, two children is 20% of your net income, through to a maximum of 25% for however many kids you've got.
Mm,
yeah.
Okay.
So from a male point of view, it feels like being hit every which way. You lose your resources, you lose the pension that you paid into, and you still have to maintain this situation. And for lots of fellas, that becomes untenable. You know, they can't cope with it, can't do it.
Can't hack it.
Yeah.
Blimey. Yeah, okay. But we're trying to work towards the goal of an amicable split. So when you're working with a fella who is feeling hard done by, or it could be a female breadwinner, couldn't it, quite easily? Who's,
works
both ways. So if you're working with that person who's taking that hit, how are you ensuring that they kind of keep a level head and aren't just hell bent on revenge and like for the rest of their lives?
I think that again, we're back to the processing, which is why I'm saying that the 11 weeks on this kind of stuff is a joke. And looking at a couple of years is much more realistic.
Mm.
But the issue is, people get very angry, and that anger can get turned in all kinds of directions. So it can be turned towards the ex-partner. It can be turned towards the children sometimes. And you get horrendous cases. There have been several in the news over the last couple of years where a man has actually taken the kids and killed the kids and then himself. You know, that's happened a few times over the last couple of years. But also the ultimate one is suicide,
mm-hmm.
isn't it? And it's I've known people that have contemplated or actually attempted or succeeded suicide on the basis that if I kill myself, the pension plans won't pay out and the insurance won't pay out, because many of them don't pay out on suicide.
Blimey. Serious stuff, eh?
Yeah. that people get very, very angry. One of the things that surprises me in our society, I know that gun crime in America is big news, and knife crime in Britain is big news. But what surprises me when I experience the levels of anger that I'm working with, not just in couples, but people in organisations and businesses as well, what surprises me is how few people kill each other, not how many. Because when you see that raw negative emotion, and in that sense, I'm glad we don't have guns available over here like they have in the States.
Yep.
Because it could quite easily be very different. You know, when you hear the stories of someone who goes down to the school and just decides to take everybody out.
Yep.
And whatever it is that gets them to that point. But you're talking about raw anger. And that's what you see when couples are splitting up. You know, someone who was a mild-mannered person suddenly turns into a harridan, male or female.
Yeah, all right. Well, I don't want to end it on that glum, horrific viewpoint. So there are good stories out there, and it is possible. And yeah. I remember buying a car, well, it was ages ago, actually, probably, yeah, six-ish, nearly 6.5 years ago, we got a car. And the guy that sold it to me in the garage, I got chatting to him while we were doing the paperwork and all that lark, and it turned out the lady who'd initially served me on the counter as I went in was his ex-wife.
Right.
And another lady who worked in the back office too was his current wife.
Yeah.
So not only did he get on well-ish with his wife, he worked with her alongside with her, and he worked with his new wife, all three of them in the same business, all getting along. You know, I'm sure they have little bickers here and there, and then they had little arguments, but they were all getting on nicely, man. I thought, isn't that brilliant?
Yeah. I think that living proof of you can actually make things work. Am I right in thinking that ABBA are coming back together again to do some music?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Saw that.
But some of them were couples, weren't they?
And they
split as couples. So they're actually still working together as a cohesive musical unit.
Beautiful.
That has to be the good end.
Lovely. It can be done. So what's your resource of the week, Sean?
I'm sticking my book in, Waking Up is Hard to Do. Because the joke is breaking up is hard to do, waking up is hard to do. But it's the issue of, in waking up, we're making a choice. And the choice is, are we going to react negatively or are we going to respond positively? And you have to wake up to be aware of, am I reacting or responding?
Yep. And that's a special book for our relationship, isn't it, Sean? That's the book that brought us together.
It was, yeah.
I did the cover for that, and that's when we... Well, the cover has changed since then for Volume 2, but, yeah, that's when we first met.
Yeah. God, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Flipping heck. How have we not broken up yet, eh? I'm sure if we did, it would be... You know, if this podcast was ever torn apart and ended, we'd still be pals, right?
Yeah. I'll talk to you sometime. Just not lying like this.
I want 75% of your whatever you've got. my resource
75% of nothing is no, sorry.
Yeah, whatever. I've seen them big wadges of cash you carry around with you, man.
Oh, I do, yeah. These aren't muscles, these are wadges of cash.
I'm going to mention a movie, a favourite of mine, Annie Hall, Woody Allen and Diane Keaton. Those two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those two, relationship on and off, but I think they're basically best pals, and even though they're not going out anymore, they kind of realise that. And, yeah, lovely. Classic movie, got to be seen.
Yeah.
Good. All right, yeah, liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the links that we've mentioned, and, free resources if you sign up to our mailing list as well. And we're on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram if you want to follow along there and get updates and little... daily, weekly, little tidbits of inspiration. Good old Reed does all that stuff, doesn't she? What a cracking dog she does too.
Yeah.
Right, okay, Sean, we'll be back next week, and you take care till then.
Yeah, and you. Look after yourself.
You too, man. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.